All right. Good morning, my friends. How are we this beautiful day? Well, we are here. We have once again arrived in the house of the Lord. And, you know, getting here can be a thing sometimes, can it? You know, it's just getting all the things in order. And if you have little kids, it can be even more interesting. And if you have big kids, that can even be more interesting. You know, getting everybody up and out and here relatively on time, and there'll be some that'll still be straggling in, and I even get that because it is hard. But here's the thing, is that we've arrived. We're here, and we're here to spend some time in the presence of our Lord, and that is some really precious time, holy time, time set apart for him. And so we're going to be learning and thinking about this a lot today. Our goal, our task as Christians is to stay focused on him. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world, a lot of stuff that we can sit and worry about, a lot of stuff that can distract us. But at the end of the day, he is the one in power. He is the one in control. He is the one who loves us. He is the one who saved us. Let's turn our eyes on our Father and receive from him. And so this morning, let us begin our worship service. And let us begin it remembering that we belong to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this beautiful day, and we thank you, Lord, that you welcome us into your presence. And Lord, that you come to us through your word. And Lord, this morning I pray that you would speak to us. Help us, Lord, to understand. Lord, you promised that you would send your Spirit, that he would be our comforter, that he would be the one who could help us to understand and remember and be prepared at the time when we need to speak. Lord, I pray that you would send him this morning so that we can learn and grow and continue to, Lord, to understand you better and to be able to trust you. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love for us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us confess our sins. We come before our God because he welcomes us. And the reason we can be here is because he has adopted us into his family and forgives us. So let's lay all our sins at his feet and receive that forgiveness. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have been given an incredible gift of this new life that we live in Christ and the forgiveness of sins that we so desperately need. Let us now sing of songs of praise to the one who has provided all this for us. Before me.
Beside me, now the reason that I sing is you're the God. I'm Kevin Chegg, one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first scripture reading is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. These are Paul's words to the church at Thessalonica and to us. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you have received from us. For you yourselves know you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some of you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. This is the word of the Lord.
Sermon text for this Sunday is Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen, and what will be the signs that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison. And you will be brought before kings and governors and all on account of my name. So you will bear testimony to me." But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. This is God's word for us today. It is now time for the children's message. So kids, come on down at this time. And Mrs. Frazier has the message.
Good morning, everybody. Come have a seat. And I have a question for you. Have any of you ever made a prediction?
No.
Do you know what a prediction is?
No.
What it? You've made predictions? You're in second grade. Wow. Okay. So what is a prediction?
It's somewhere where you predict things.
Where you predict things. And another word for predict is to guess. Now, we can make some guesses on things that might happen based on science and things that we know or facts. Like if I drank a whole bunch of water, I could predict pretty soon, right? If I made a little tower with that, if it's still, it's not going to fall down, right? But if I move that bottom block, what's going to happen?
It's
going to fall down, right? Yep. So we knew, we could predict that that would happen. Now, what about this? There's something else in my bag. Very small. You know what this is? It's a quarter, a coin. And on one side is the heads side, and on the back is the tail side. If I flung this up in the air and tried to see what it would land on, can you guys tell me what it's going to be? Can you predict it accurately? You think it's heads or tails?
Tails.
Okay, we kind of have a 50-50 guess on this, right? Let's see. It's heads. Yes. So good job. Now, if I did it again, are we going to get the same result?
No. Yeah.
No.
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 Maybe. Yeah. We don't know. Okay. Now, I also have a book. Now, raise your hand if you have this book, too. I love this book. It's the baby's first Bible, but I just wanted to bring a book as an example that if I closed my eyes and I picked any page to open this up, can you tell me exactly what book or what page it's going to open up on?
No.
I couldn't either. I'd have to wait until I open it up to see, right? Okay. I have one other little toy in here. Can you tell me what it is?
No.
Why not? Because you can't see it, right? You can't make the prediction of what it's going to be. Would you like to know?
Yeah.
It's a little toy farmer.
Hey, we have that.
Okay. Well, there are lots of things that we can predict based on science or facts that we know, like drinking water and having to go to the bathroom. But there's some things that we won't know, right? Well, a lot of things in life people try to guess and predict, and some of them can be estimated or predicted, but some of them won't be. And now in our Bible verse today, did you guys hear some talk about the end of the world? Now, some people tried to guess when the end of the world would happen. Do you think they actually knew when it would happen?
No.
No. Do we know when it's going to happen?
No.
No. But people try to guess and predict. And people have been predicting this since the time of the Bible. And Jesus told them, though, that nobody except for God will know when the end of the world will be. We can't predict it. God doesn't want us to know. It's not ours to know. And that can be a little bit scary. There's much of the future that we don't know. But God gave us another promise with that, too. God said our lives are going to be challenging. What does that mean?
Hard.
Bad things might happen. We might get hurt. We're going to have times that we feel sad, and hard things will happen. But he also promised us that he will always be with us through those times. He said we don't need to worry because God will take care of us. We don't know what the future holds, but we know that God holds the future. And we don't need to know what's coming next. We might be curious. We might want to know all of the things that are in the bag. We might want to know what's going to happen next. But we have to just focus on what's happening right now. Maybe this day, or maybe in this very moment. So we can focus on one day at a time. We know that God is with us in every moment, so we can put our hope and our comfort in that. There's a lot we can be uncertain of, but we have Jesus in our hearts, and we're certain of the love and help that he gives us. And that's a pretty great promise, right? Yeah. Let's fold our hands and pray. You guys repeat after me. Dear God,
thank you
for your promises. And for being present in our lives. Thank you that we can hope in you when life is scary or uncertain. Help us remember that every day. Thank you for your love. We love you, God.
We love you, God.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right, it is now time for a little worship. So kids, 4-year-old through 4th grade can head to the cross in the center aisle. Is it there yet? Oh, there it is. Rachel's not holding it up very much. There it is. Okay, now you can see it. The rest of us, let's open up God's word here, and let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, and we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through this word today. I pray that you would be with us, Lord, as we open it, be with us as we talk about it, be with us as we meditate upon it, Lord. Help us to learn and to grow, and to be able to take peace in your gospel, Lord, and respond, Lord, with acts of love and service and sacrifice for others. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends. Well, this is one of those texts where you read the whole thing and then you end it with, this is the gospel of the Lord, right? Jesus and the disciples are walking into the temple area. You don't really see it in this text, but this is after Jesus comes into Jerusalem the last time with the big, Palm Sunday thing, and all of that has just happened. And the disciples they're walking into Jerusalem, and they're seeing this incredible, beautiful temple. The temple has just been getting finished. It's like right in the final phases of being built. It's the Herodian temple. Herod had rebuilt it and made it bigger and more beautiful and more grand. He loved his architectural projects. The thing is when Solomon built the temple, he built it, as an act of worship to God. When Herod rebuilt the temple, it was much more about, look at me, aren't I great? But nevertheless, the temple was spectacular. All right. And it was very, very substantial, very, very solid. Something that would last forever, right? Yeah, it's not what Jesus had to say. Jesus was basically saying, guys, your eyes are in the wrong place. This temple, beautiful as it is, substantial as it is, made with enormous stones as it is, the day is coming when not one stone will be left upon another. It's going to be leveled to the ground as if it never existed. It didn't take very long. 70 AD, these words came true, and the Romans were thorough in their destruction of Jerusalem. And they literally did tear everything down, just leveled it. I mean, it must have taken a lot of work to move all those big stones, but they did it. And Jesus brought this up because he wanted the disciples to be thinking a little bit longer term. I mean, this is very much toward the end of Jesus' ministry, right? I mean, we're coming up on Maundy Thursday when Jesus was arrested and Good Friday when Jesus died. And he needed the disciples to refocus their attention on the things that really matter. Don't be so interested in all of these passing things. Focus on the thing that lasts forever. And he said, and they start thinking in the eternal terms, you know, like as in like the last coming and the end of all things. And they look at Jesus and they said, here's the questions that are on the disciples' minds again. He says, they said, when will these things happen? When? And what are the signs that we can recognize when these things are about to take place? I want you to notice that Jesus does not answer either of these questions. Okay? What Jesus does is he says, here's all the things that you probably don't need to pay attention to because all of these things are going to happen before I come back. Right? He says this, many are going to come in my name claiming I am he and that the end is near. Do not follow them. So if somebody's running around saying that they're Jesus and that you need to follow them, that it definitely and necessarily excludes them from being Jesus. You got that? They are not. Basically what he's saying is when Jesus comes back, there won't be any question. You will definitely know that it's him. All right? And as far as somebody saying that the end is here or the end is near, do we know when the end is coming? So anybody who says that they know is either wrong or lying. That's it. By definition, we don't know. And it says this, he says, watch out, for many are deceived. Many are going to come in my name claiming I am he and the end is near. Do not follow them. Oh, and then he gets to the things that, like, you know, people think all the time. Wow, look at all this stuff happening. The end must be coming. And he says this. He says, when you hear of wars and uprisings, don't be frightened. These things are going to happen. But the end will not come right away. Then he said, nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes, famines, pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. So basically, things are going to get really crazy. Does that resemble anything you've been looking at lately? I mean, it's like the news every night and the newspaper every morning. It's just filled with bad news. Pestilence, war, famine. You know, too much water in this place, not enough in that place. You know, we just had a worldwide pandemic. So, you know, sickness, is that on your mind? I mean, everything, all of these things has happened and will happen. And God says, Jesus says this, is this the stuff we're supposed to be looking at? Oh, and then it gets better. Because now we're done with all of the stuff that's going to happen out there in the world. Now it gets personal. Before all this, so before all the famine and pestilence and all that kind of stuff, they will seize you and persecute you. Who is he talking to? Yeah, us. Isn't that good news? Yeah. Woo-hoo. Anyway, they will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before the kings and governors, all on the account of my name. So we have so much to look forward to. Isn't this good? Yeah, the thing is this what Jesus wants us to be thinking about, though? No, what does he want us to be thinking about? This is it. Just look at exactly what he says. He goes, you're going to be dragged in front of judges. You're going to be dragged in front of kings. You're going to be dragged in front of, you know, the church leaders and all this stuff. And they are going to be, you know, you're going to be in really big trouble. And he says this. He says, make up your mind. Oh, yeah. And so, because you are called in front of all these important people, you are going to testify for me. Why is that? Because that's what we do. right? I mean, if God is our God, and if he's done all these things for us, and we want more people to know, and what we do is we walk through life and we testify to what God has done to us. It's what we do. When we walk into difficult times, do we testify that he's gotten us through times before? And do we testify that we have faith that he'll get us through this time as well? That he is the one that is in control over all things. He is the one that has all the power. He is the one who loves me and holds me in his hand, and that he will get me through this as well. And so we know, we bear testimony in our lives because God never stops blessing us, and we want to bear witness to the blessings we have received from him. And so we testify in all circumstances, and when we are brought before all these leaders and all of these judges and all these people who are basically hating on us, what are we going to do? Continue testifying. In other words, business as usual, nothing changes for us. We're going to testify in a little more hostile of an environment, but we're going to do what Christians do, and that is continue to share God's love. Continue to tell people about what God has done. And we will continue to testify. And he says this, he goes, you're not on your own when you're testifying either. He goes, I want you to make up your mind right now that you are not going to prepare in advance what you're going to say when you stand in front of these people. But I want you to have your eyes on me. You understand? In other words, when you're standing in front of these people, don't look inside yourself. Don't try to be strong enough. Don't try to be big enough. Don't try to make it about you. It isn't about you. You are there because of your faith in Christ. You're there for the name of Jesus, and it is the Spirit that is going to get you through this. God himself will give you the words to say, and the words that he'll give you to say will be the right words, the best words, the words that are meant for the moment. So while all of this stuff is happening in the world, and all of this stuff is happening to your brothers and sisters and to Christians and believers, and the stuff is happening to you personally, where are your eyes focused on Jesus? Because what's the most real thing in this entire verse? Is it the problems that we're going to face? Is it the difficulties? Is it the storms? Is it the famine? Is it the pestilence? Is it all of the problems that are going to be coming upon us? Or is it the word of the Lord and the presence of our God and the certainty of his promise? That's what's real. That's what's not going away. Thing is that, is it going to be really hard at the end? He goes on, it gets even worse. He goes, look, the things that you look at now, the places where you go for comfort and strength and support, those are the places that are going to turn against you. He says, you will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends. The people that you want to trust, the people that are going to hold you up the most, at the end, they're even going to turn their back on you. All of your supports will be taken away. But where are your eyes? On Jesus. Your eyes are always on him, because will he turn his back on you? Not for one moment. He is the one who will support you. He is the one who will walk with you. He is the one who has already promised that not only has he died on the cross and taken away our sins, but that even in this life, he will never leave us. That he will speak through us, that he will work through us, that he will do what he does, and we will glorify him with our lives. And our eyes are always on him. Because he is the one thing that isn't going to shake. Everyone will hate you because of me. Oh yeah, and some of you will, I love this one because it's kind of cool. It says, some of you will be put to death, which sounds extreme, right? But then about a half a verse later, but not a hair of your head will perish. Well, those kind of seem a little contradictory. You know, I mean, being put to death, that kind of sounds like hurting my hair, You know? So what's he trying to get at here? Well, what he's getting at here is this. God's not talking in terms of earthly life. He's talking in terms of this eternal life that we have received through Christ. Folks, yeah, these bodies are going to die. They will. Whether it be in persecution or whether it be in illness or accident or sickness, whatever it is, these bodies aren't going to be around forever. And but the question is this. Are you going to perish? Is your body going to perish? Well, in the short term, yeah. In the long term, no. Job says, with these eyes, I will see God. Jesus tells us about the resurrection of all flesh, that we are going to be forever. Guys, this world is going to be insane. Already is. Not heading in great directions right now. You know, we've lived in this wonderful, beautiful bubble of religious liberty and freedom and the ability to speak our faith and have our faith seen as something that is a really good and beautiful thing. That's changing. It's not going to be long, and the people who speak God's truth and say the things that must be said, the people who are bearing witness to the truth of what God says in his scripture, both law and gospel, are going to pay penalties for speaking. It's coming faster than we think. And the question is this. When it happens, what are we going to do? Are we going to look at the problems that are approaching? Are we going to look at the things that are happening in the world, the wars and the persecution and the arrests and the people who are paying for this? Are we going to be looking at all of the things that are coming to get us, or are we going to keep our eyes on him? The God who loves us, the God who died for us, the God who gave his life for us, the God who promises us eternal life in him, the one who promises to give us words to say and strength to live, the God who's going to welcome us into that heavenly kingdom and the heavenly banquet on the last day? Or do we look at the problems that are going to go away? Because as crazy as this world is going to get, this world doesn't last forever either. But you do. God's word does. Your relationship with him lasts forever. And so here's my prayer for you, and here's the thing that we need to do. First of all, we need to know things will be difficult. So don't be surprised when it happens. You know, God told us this 2,000 years ago. He told us life is going to get crazy. And as we look at the last 2,000 years, we can see just how crazy life got. And the God who walked all of those people through all of those persecutions, all of those difficult times, all of those natural disasters, all of those crazy things, that same God is walking with us. That same God. And he is as faithful today as he ever has been. He is as real today as he ever has been. And what we can do is we can keep our eyes on the one that doesn't change. We can look at him and we can know that he is our rock, and that this world is going to shake and tremble, and that we aren't going to know which way's up half the time, but we will know where our God is. We will know his promise, and we will have joy in him, because we know that at the end, we win. And you know, it's so funny because, you know, whenever we like watch movies and stuff, you know, people talk about the movies on TV, on the radio and stuff, and they always have to say, you know, what do they call it? It's the name of the sermon. What am I? Spoiler alert. Very good. I had to find my sermon title. Anyway, the thing is that it's like a spoiler alert, right? So if you don't want to know the end of the story, turn the radio off now, because otherwise it's going to get wrecked for you, right? I mean, if somebody told you, at the end of movies, you could ruin the entire movie. I mean, all of a sudden, you would just not get the full experience. And but this is one of those times when God gave us a spoiler, because it's really important we know the end of the story. Without the end of the story, this looks hopeless. It looks pretty scary. It looks messed up. It looks like there's nobody in control. It looks like everything is going to be turning against us, and things are just going to be so awful. And if we didn't know, it could be really, really hard to live with. But since we know, yeah, it will get hard. But then God comes again. And when he comes again with his glory, and he comes again to set things right, and there's a new heaven and a new earth, because the old heaven and old earth pass away, and we are going to live at the table of our Lord forever. And that the communion that we eat today is the first fruits to the heavenly banquet, the appetizer to the big meal in heaven. That day, we will experience all of his goodness, all of his greatness, all of his glory, and it will never end. This is what we look forward to. The great hope based on the great gift that Jesus has given us. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, you are amazing. You are good. Life is hard. Lord, you've given us forewarning that things are going to get crazy at times. And sure enough, things have been crazy. And you tell us, Lord, that things could get harder still. But we thank you, Lord, that you have promised to be with us. You've promised to speak through us, to work through us, to act in us, to give us, Lord, all that we need. Help us, Lord, to not be distracted by all the crazy in the world, but to keep our eyes on you, to be focused on you and your promises, not on all the things that are going wrong. Lord, your word is truth, and nothing lasts forever but you, your word. And us because of you. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible mercy. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, let us continue our worship by collecting the offering. And as this offering is collected, we do ask that you would please record your attendance in the folders that you'll find in front of you at the pews. And as we... as the offering is collected, let us continue to give praise to our God.
Strength to live for you, and Lord,
Please stand as we confess what God has revealed to us about himself using the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. As we go into our prayer time today, please be seated. We're going to have a video in remembrance of our veterans. God has blessed us. God has blessed us in many ways, and one of those ways is by keeping us safe and sending us people who will continue to protect our country. We want to be praying for our veterans and especially for our active duty soldiers who are out in the world doing the job today. So let us stand as we come into God's presence. A few other prayers for today is going to be Lisa Wilson, who has cancer and is struggling through the treatments. She's the daughter of Jan Yultzen. And also that we would be praying for Mary Borg-Schulte as she continues to fight all the complications of her sickness as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much that you have given us this another day, Lord, to serve you, another day to work in your world and to be your hands and feet. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to keep our eyes focused on you, not be distracted by all the chaos and craziness that is happening in this world. The chaos and craziness, Lord, that you told us was coming, and that as all of your word is true and is fulfilled, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to not worry about all those things, but just focus on you, the one who is going to get us through this and everything else. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with those of us who are struggling with sickness. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Lisa Wilson, Lord, and with Mary Borg-Schulte especially. Give them strength and healing, Lord, so that they can continue to be your people and serve you in this world. Lord, I pray that you would also, that we thank you, Lord, for providing for us an amazing country in which to live and the people who are willing to do what is necessary to keep us free. Lord, I pray that you would, I thank you, Lord, for the gift of all of the soldiers in the past and the airmen, the Marines, all the people, Lord, who've just done what was necessary, done the job. And Lord, I pray that you would be with especially those who are still doing that job today. Help our active duty military, Lord, to be able to serve honorably in the places that they have to work. And I pray that you would help them and keep them safe and return them to their families, Lord, when they are done with their duty. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless the ministries of St. Mark's, the church and our biggest ministry, the school. I pray that you would continue to bless them as they work, as the teachers work, as the all those who are involved in the leadership and ministry, as they continue to do the things that are necessary, Lord, so that your children can be taught of your word and your truth, so they, like us, can have the confidence of knowing how the story ends, knowing that in the end, Lord, we will celebrate in your presence for eternity. Lord, all these things we bring before you, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us the Lord's trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Please have a seat for just a moment here. This morning is especially special when it comes to the Lord's Supper, as our 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, the ones who have just been trained on how to examine themselves and how to properly receive this amazing gift of the Lord's Supper, are going to be celebrating their very first communion this morning. And so the first thing we're going to do is the people who are going to be serving us are going to come forward to receive communion first. Right after that, though, we will have two tables, two groups of people are going to come forward to receive the Lord's Supper for the first time. And then after that, we will continue with communion in the normal way. All right, so with that, let us begin. So if those who are serving us this morning will come forward to receive the Lord's Supper, and then we will have the rest.
Good.
We have just received an amazing gift, the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the promise, this promise is so important because it's another promise that God has made to us, that he would show up at this meal, that at this meal we would have communion with him as we have communion with each other, looking forward to the nourishing us until the day that he comes, but also looking forward to that day. Looking forward to that heavenly banquet that we will all celebrate together. And so as God's promise is certain and he has done what he said he would do, and you have received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, depart in peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing as we go our ways today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let us stand as we sing the final song together.
Days may be darkest, but your light is greater. You light our way, God, you light our way. When evil is rising, you're rising higher with power to save, with power to save. You keep hope alive, you keep hope alive from the beginning to end. Your word never fails. You keep hope alive because you are alive. Jesus, you are alive. Death had a stronghold, but your life was stronger. Rose from the grave, rose up from the grave. Yeah, yeah. When evil is rising, you're rising.
Have a seat, my friends. We have a few announcements. First of all, this coming Sunday is family meeting, and so we're going to be meeting in here. There won't be any Bible study that day. It'll be family meeting time. And if any, there will be childcare available, but please let Lauren know ahead of time if you're bringing your kids so that we know how many to expect. Also, poinsettia day. It says last day to order. Did we announce this yet? I don't know. Okay, we did? Okay, good, because it is the last day to order. So you can place your orders online. Let's see here. Hilltop Manor Thanksgiving. We still need volunteers for that. So if you guys are in the mood to give some food out to some wonderful people, you can sign up at the Connection Center. Advent Potluck is going to be on November 30th and December 14th from 6 to 7, so it's right before the Advent services that we're having this year. Angel Tree is out, so you can grab an ornament off of there and go buy stuff for your kids. And in the bulletin, it says that there is going to be Bible study in the sanctuary after the service, but that is not true because the music folks are in the sanctuary after the service. We will be in room 104 talking about prayer this morning, so come on down and join us down there. And I think that's everything I have for you today. So God's bless. Oh, I'm forgetting. Man, I knew I was going to do that. Jill, come on up. She knew she was going to be forgotten. She told me right before the service, and I'm like, you're going to have to wave at me.
Just by you.
Exactly. It's just the way it goes.
It's that time of the year again. You know what I'm going to say. First of all, I want you to know how happy and grateful I am to be a part of this family and have the freedom to worship with all of you every Sunday. It just means everything. And part of the reason we can do that is because of sacrifices that have been made for us. It's almost impossible for me to look at those sweet faces of those men who have served, our veterans, and think about the ones who are serving now. So our military ministry here, Operation Barnabas, is starting our fund drive so we can do something special for our members. And you know, if there's extra money, we'll do what we can for veterans and people who need us. So to that end, Phil Richardson, our very own active member here, has worn his uniform today, and you may be able to pass by me easily, but I doubt if you can pass that up if he's holding the Barnabas bucket. And additionally, there's his son Gavin, who's got his fatigues on as well. So please don't pass by them. Be as generous as you always have and slip something in our Barnabas bucket so that we can pay it forward to those to whom we are so grateful. Thanks.
All right, with that, God's blessings on your week, and I will meet you in the back. If we do have an elder in the prayer chapel if anybody wishes prayer after the service.